plug for you, my dear.
Are you going to insist?
Yeah.
Okay.
What kind of company do you have?
Well, I'm a small business owner here in Cincinnati. I own a home repair and remodeling business called ProMaster Home Repair, and we're Cincinnati's on-time and family-friendly home repair and remodeling professional.
And how?
And I am a sponsor of
the show.
So do you feel better now?
I feel
I've
better.
Made my plug?
No,
okay.
No. Give your telephone number because that's really important.
Sure, 513-724-0539. And if you need a home repair in the Cincinnati area, visit mastermylist.com.
And you're so good at that, especially on the air, right?
Oh, thank you.
Okay, we could even put you up for an actor's deal.
Can we get back to Lee? I'm really excited to talk to Lee.
Let's do it. Okay. Lee.
Yes.
Now, right before the break, we were talking about what Don had said.
I'm alluding to the fifth column, Lee. So
let
it rip. Talk to me.
Well, to get to that, why I stumbled on it had to do with what I was discussing, that we were becoming so hostile with one another. And the fifth column term for your listeners is a military term for a force inside a country that's about to be attacked, whose purpose is to break the solidarity so that it becomes a softer target, if you will. And that's what I spotted was happening. And when I actually looked into the background of the real-life mastermind of Al-Qaeda, there was something that stood out there. And the reason I was doing it was that this is what actors do when we play real people. We do backstory research, we find out about their background, and then we try to find their motivation. And there was something that jumped out at me that caused me to realize that although the analysts and intelligence may have looked at it, they might not have evaluated the significance of it, and that this guy had a background and training that would likely cause him to use an old Soviet strategy of how they planned to bring us down from within. And pursuing along that line, that's how I was enabled to unfold, if you will, some of the incidents that have later become realities.
Okay, so when you say this guy, you're referring specifically to?
Ayman al-Zawahiri, and he's the Egyptian psychiatrist and the regarded as the mastermind of Al-Qaeda.
Okay, very good. Just want to make sure everybody's clear on that.
Right. Yeah, thank you.
And, you say that the Generation Y group is so important to our survival. Why?
Well, the Soviets, for example, knew that if you can take down two generations in a row, you can take down a culture. You can take down a country. And when you look at America, I don't believe that anybody's going to take us down in a stand-up military fight, ever. That if Americans are awake and we know that we have to do battle, we will, and we have been very resourceful. But if one comes at us a different direction, and the Soviets had long ago concluded that the better way would be just to undermine us altogether. And so, if you will, a Trojan horse was inserted to compromise a generation. And Generation Y now is the group that's about to step up to take the baton. You know, the World War II generation is dying off. My generation is, approaching retirement. The generation in between, called Generation X and Generation Y. In fact, if you even just look at that, you go, what is that? Are those two elements in an algebra equation? I mean, what are we saying about these young people?
You know, I haven't figured something out. We have the baby boomers,
mm-hmm.
okay? But there's an area that nobody ever talks about, and that's from 1943 until maybe 1947. What generation is that?
Well, I think they're probably, I regard myself as a baby boomer, and I'm 47, so I would think that's, most of those people are going to call themselves baby boomers.
I would say so, because, if you look it up, I'm 66,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not in that, I'm not in my mother's generation or the generation before that, I'm just in that little tiny generation of really hard workers.
Yeah, and you can call yourself that. But coming back to the Generation Y, you see, they're called Generation Y because they're called a trophy generation as well, meaning that those above them view that they can't handle defeat or loss or disappointment, so they're given trophies for just showing up. And yet it's this and that's not a joke, sadly, and when I point that out to these young people, they all of a sudden go, I didn't realize that's why we were called the trophy generation. And they're going to have to be a hero generation, because whether they like it or not, this fight, however prolonged it's going to be for freedom, for our values and so on, is coming right to them. And they're coming into their 20s now. And
right, it's on their doorstep.
It's on their doorstep. And if they are undereducated, and I call them dumbed down and drugged up, if their education is improper and they don't take steps to learn what they need to learn, and if they don't get out from under this drug thing where they have been drugged up, as most of America today, then that generation would not be able to think its way through and reason and be willing to confront a long-term rebuilding.
Okay, Lee, you talk about the Trojan horse that's been inserted. I saw you in an interview talk about inserted into every institution within America, our belief systems, our society, our culture. What is that?
Well, I hear you're on the subject of, do I reveal the absolute mystery of both of these books?
Don't do that.
I'm not going to do that, but I can answer the question. because, and the reason I don't is not just to sell books. It's that I believe that the readers, if I've learned anything since these started coming out, is that the readers make a journey in this, and a reality that's been there all along that they couldn't see, however, Don, becomes gradually more and more and more visible until all of a sudden all the dots connect and they go, oh, my Lord, I see it. I didn't see it before. But if I just tried to say, no, there's the picture, look right at it, they can't see it. But the strategy of a Trojan horse, and this is the thing I would remind people, is that if you remember the history, it was accepted as a gift.
Okay,
and that when it was left outside that gate, it was brought in as if it was a conciliation after years of war, and it was brought in as a gift. So this Trojan horse is something which we as Americans have accepted. We brought it into our home. We've brought it into our medicine cabinets. We brought it into our bathrooms. We have brought it into our lives, and out of that Trojan horse has dropped agents, if you will, that have, I believe, infiltrated education, religion, military, the justice system, and systematically over time undermined and eroded it. So in case, you know, or you or your listeners are thinking, you know, these are areas that I do feel we're under attack in, on the cultural values of the United States, and you feel like you're boxing with shadows, or you feel like you've entered Alice in Wonderland, you know, with some of these decisions being made, it rests with the agents of this Trojan horse, if you will, that have compromised our reason. And that has to do with mind control.
And you know, it's really funny. I have to bring this up. You know, actually, Lee and I talked before the show about 3 or 4 days ago. And, you know, living overseas and you being in the service and being overseas,
sure,
you know, you can see so much more living overseas and looking into the United States than people in the United States that are under the covers still about what's going to happen. We never thought that anybody could do anything to us. And when 9/11 happened, everybody was so shook. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, being in the countries that I was in, that are we kidding ourselves here?
Sure.
And we let our guard down. Am I right, Lee?
Yes, I'm not certain that we ever had it up in those areas. I'm talking about the American citizen here. I'm sure the military and intelligence communities have been on top of this. But I don't think Americans are, because being basically good people, we're not looking for a subterranean culture that's all of a sudden going to surface and attack your nation very overtly. And we definitely wouldn't be looking for the subtle thing that would come at us and gradually erode. You know, I had the privilege years ago of doing a film with Peter O'Toole, and the director of that movie had escaped from behind the Iron Curtain. His name is Ivan Passer. And we had the opportunity to get to chat on the set. And during my experience there, one day, all of a sudden, he said, Lee, do you know how to cook a frog? And I said, as a matter of fact, I do, because I had a business mentor that taught me that. And he said, you know, America's being cooked. And the cooking the frog is, if you put him in a pan of cool water, and you heat it up gently, by the time he recognizes that he's in danger, it's too late. He's been weakened and he can't jump out. But if you just try to drop a frog into boiling water, he's quick, he's agile, he'll get out because he perceives the danger. And that, I thought, was a wonderful analogy of Americans. We've lived with privilege, we've given, we're a generous people, but I think we just assumed that everything was okay if it was okay here at home, and we didn't realize that there were things inserted here that were making it not okay here and weakening us. That's that fifth column, Don. We had to be weakened first so that when other attacks of a more overt nature would happen, we would not have the wherewithal to stand up to them. And sadly, I think that's demonstrated in some of the things that have happened subsequent to 9/11.
So do you think we're just ignorant of the threat that's facing us, or do you feel we're just simply too scared to face it, or we don't want to admit it?
I think we're ignorant of it, and this enemy particularly, Ayman al-Zawahiri, knows how to use fear. And he is using fear as a weapon, and that's part of the mystery of the first book. He's using fear as a weapon to effect a type of mind control where you get that other result where we just aren't up to it, you know, if it seems overwhelming. And so it's the fear element. He's really good at it, and the media helps.
Okay.
Oh, the media really helps.
Absolutely.
And they feed people what they want to hear.
Sure.
Okay?
Sure.
They're not like us, okay, that really tell the real thing. And that was one of the things that really bothered me about living overseas, Don, and listening to the stuff that was going on in the United States with these commentators. People believe that the commentators are real news, are real whatever, and so we don't pay attention to really what's going on. Am I right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like dueling talking points, you know. You get one on saying one thing and another, and nobody's really listening. And I lay out in one of the books, one of the elements of propaganda and mind control is that a lie told often enough becomes the truth. So you can have a statement, whether it's true or not, but if it keeps being repeated over and over and over again, eventually your own mind succumbs to it and you accept it as the truth, and you know no any longer where you even got it from.
Okay, so Lee, let me make sure I've got this right. What you're saying here, and we can come after the break, I'd like you to expand on this, but that Al-Qaeda is using a tactic of mind control, which you call fear, to implant a Trojan horse, if you will, throughout our society to take us down from within. Where I'd like to go next is, how are other terrorist organizations throughout the world responding to this, Hezbollah and Hamas in particular? Are they jumping on this bandwagon? Are they associated with this, or do they have nothing to do with this?
Well, after the break, we're going into it now? Okay.
Yeah, if we're going into it now, I think that's the easier way. We'll be right back with Lee Kessler, author, actress, and we'll be right back.
Home repair and improvement. It can be inconvenient.